good to be here, and we just want to say Happy New Year to everyone. And bring greetings from my wife and the children. School is back in, and so they are unable to join me on this trip. But otherwise, it's just good to be here. Let's just bow for a word of prayer, please. Thank you, Father, for this day that you have made. Your word reminds us that we should rejoice and be glad in it. We can rejoice, O Lord, because we are alive. And yet you have put a song in our hearts, praises on our lips, even to our God. And now, Lord, as you will share your word, we pray that you, by your Spirit, will teach our hearts, that our minds and our hearts will be open to that which you would have us share. And most of all, O Lord, that we will be obedient. Help us, O Lord, as your people, not to be just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And so, Lord, our prayer is that we would walk out that which your word commands us. Bless our time together is our prayer with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's good to be here. And while I'm here with you for the next couple of weeks, and I want to be sharing on the biblical basis for evangelism. And taking in connection with the thought that you're having a crusade, I thought it would be good to try to tie it in to further encourage and challenge and motivate you as well as my own heart in this whole area of evangelism as the people of God. And I believe with all of my heart, and I think you do too, that Jesus is coming. Amen? And so in the light of that truth, the question that was put to me about 15 years ago, when someone said that, I said, what are you doing? What are you doing in the light of that truth? And so the challenge to us, and in the light of the upcoming crusade, what's the motivating factor for you and for me? And so this morning, we want to look at the five different passages in which we look at the gold of evangelism and the fact that Jesus, on five different occasions in the Word of God, gives the Great Commission. And we're going to look at those and see from different aspects how the principles in those different aspects can be challenging to you and to me this morning. But I want to begin with a quote from a brother by the name of Paul Esselman. And he says this: during the last 2,000 years, God has given us many ways to present the gospel. We need to evaluate every means we are now using to see whether they fit in terms of the admonition of Jesus and the scriptures. It is important that the efforts we make during the years ahead are not limited to just repeating historical methods and supply information on a surface level. Let me repeat that last sentence. It is important that the efforts we make during the years ahead, if we have years ahead, if the Lord be not come, are not limited just to repeating historical methods and supply information on a surface level. We need to prayerfully and creatively challenge one another toward a greater understanding of the goodness of God, the lostness of mankind, and the incomparable provision of Jesus Christ to alter our eternal destiny. To alter our eternal destiny. And when I think about that last phrase, to alter our eternal destiny, where would you be today if someone did not present the gospel of Jesus Christ to you? You certainly would not have been here. I would not have. What would your life be like? Imagine. And as I think about my own life, I think about a boy of 13 frequenting nightclubs and everything else. And I see some of my friends that I ran with, and they are still on that path. See the condition they're in. I see the homes that they have broken up. I often wonder, if it was not for the grace of God, If it was not for someone proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, if it wasn't for a cousin who invited me to church often, if it wasn't for a brother by the name of Gordon Osby, every time I darkened the door of Freeport Gospel Chapel, who challenged me with the gospel, would I be here today? Would I be here at Spanish Wells? Today, sharing with you this whole idea, the biblical basis for evangelism. And so it's important that we understand that the efforts that you make next month and beyond is not just limited to repeating historical methods. If you would indulge me, let me ask you a question. If someone were to ask you, what are some of the historical methods that have been used and is being used today in terms of evangelism, what are some of the methods that are used to get the gospel out?
Probably our personal invitations.
Personal invitations. What do you mean? Inviting someone to church? Or personal witnessing. Okay. Mass evangelism, which would be crusades. Anything else? Well, you have radio, television, which is relatively new in the last 50 years. The last 50 years, radio and television, track distribution. And those are efforts that are ongoing and are still being used of God. But again, we must not limit ourselves to those. We must look at other avenues and other ways. You know, personal evangelism. When we think about young people today, how can we reach them? What are the things that attract young people? And for many young people, listen, mass evangelism. For many of them, they would not come. They wouldn't come. For many in the city, they don't come to the church door. How can we reach them? How can we reach them? And so we need, as Christians, to begin to think out of the box, creatively. Not damaging the message, but finding creative methods of reaching people with the gospel. Out of the box. Take, for instance, my son Jermaine just went back to Pensacola Christian College. A few of, and probably you've used this here, a few of the young men from the college came down to Nassau, and they went to the various schools, assemblies, sharing the gospel, inviting, and they decided to put aside together a 3-on-3 basketball tournament in the heart of Nassau. All the schools inviting them, and they had over 24 different teams. Double elimination, meaning you lose twice, you're out. After the first round, they sat them down, and someone gave a clear presentation of the gospel. 8 young men got saved out of the box. They would not come to a church, but they had come to a basketball tournament. And the thing is, no problems. In the heart of Nassau, they didn't have any police. Everything went well. That's one method. Does it work all the time? Maybe not, but that's one way. One of the things that we used to do in Freeport, and we're going to look at doing again, we call it prayer evangelism, knocking on doors. And go to the people's home and say to them, is there anything we can pray for you about? Any needs in your home that we as a church can pray for you? And no lie there, they open up opportunities right then and then, be able to present the gospel. But we take the request, go back and pray, and then come back a week and two weeks later and say, did God answer your prayer? Did God meet your need? But we want to meet your need. We want to pray with you, share the gospel. Opportunities. A friend of mine, a minister in Freeport, said, this is what they do. They invite service clubs in. Now, you don't have that here. They don't invite them in to give any presentation, but they invite them in. Let them sit down there, welcome them, say, hey, we're glad to have you. We know what you're doing. They give them the gospel. People get saved. They get saved. Another thing you can do, he said, what they do? Give out tickets, free car wash. Come to our church, we wash your car. Everyone likes something free. But then they come, they get to know them, get their address as possible, follow up material, visiting their home, talking with them on the spot. They're there. They're getting their car washed. Where do they have to go? Nowhere. They're there. The minister I heard about who... When you become a Christian, more and more you are removed from the world in a sense. Your old friends and everything else. And so he wanted to have a one-on-one experience where he could be able to share the gospel. So he put an ad in the paper for a tennis partner. When someone answered, always an unsaved person, played with them, got to know them, share the gospel with them, over and over they got saved, discipled them for 5 weeks, then passed them on to someone else, then put another ad in the paper for a tennis partner. In so many ways, ladies' Bible study. Invite your unsaved neighbors to a Bible study. And so many ways we need to look at getting the gospel out. Getting the gospel out in some ways to people. We need to be creative. People are lost. People are going to hell. Jesus is coming. And so we need to get the message out. We need to be continue to use the historical methods in our context, and it is working. But also think out of the box. Think out of the box. And so I have some handouts I haven't copied, but before I leave, Lord willing, maybe by Tuesday evening we'll give you some handouts. And so we want to begin as we look at the goal. What is the goal God has given us? And the Bible says, God says, make a disciples of all nations. All nations. And so 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ gave this great commission to take the gospel to the whole world. He wasn't vacillating. He was very definite. Make disciples of all nations. And just to emphasize that, he gave it this command 5 different times in the first 5 books of the New Testament. And each time he gave a slightly different aspect, an insight to it. And so let's begin with Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, and which is very familiar, the Great Commission passage. Matthew 28, verse 18 through verse 20. And so if we're going to have a strategy and to reach people and to complete this whole idea of making disciples of all nations, we need to sort of put all these together in sort of in one package to get them out. And Jesus came, verse 18, and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world or age. Amen. To make disciples in every nation. This passage defines the depth of the Great Commission. Notice it does not only entail the whole idea of proclaiming the message of the gospel, but Jesus emphasizes the fact of making them, causing them to understand, to obey that which I have said. Notice in another version it says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority is given, is in heaven and on earth, has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. And so the depth, Jesus says, all power and authority is given unto me. I want you to know that. I want you to realize that. And he says, I want you to go in that authority and that power, and I want you to make disciples. Not just converts. I want you to make disciples. Ones who are learners. Ones who are going to follow my precepts. One who's going to live out my life, allow me to live out my life through them. Josh McDowell has a new book I'll call Beyond Belief to Conviction. One of the arguments he makes in the book is that a lot of Christian young people in the United States conservatively are becoming dragged in and being grabbed into the world system, and there is no definite conviction and belief about the person of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, that Christianity is the only way, even though they believe in Jesus Christ. And many times we give our young people our beliefs, which is good, but do they have a conviction about it? Do they believe it? Do they understand why they believe it? Can they defend it? Their beliefs. Do they have a conviction? Someone has said, an opinion is what you hold. A conviction is what holds you. And Jesus wants us to teach our young people, to teach people, to make disciples. Someone has said that many churches are good, are birthing babies, but they don't bring them up. Just leave them to float alone. Jesus, I want you to make disciples. I want you to teach them to observe, to obey all things which I have commanded you. And that takes time. Just like bringing up children, it takes time and effort. It takes time and effort. Teaching principles over and over and over again until they get it. Until they get it. I have a 9-year-old. I've been telling him from since he was born. No, I shouldn't say since he was born. He's able to understand. Do not leave your clothes in the middle of the floor in the bathroom. Yesterday morning before I left, it was in the middle of the floor in the bathroom. But one day, Lord willing, it will sink in. But you know what? I have to keep telling you. And so, if you want to make disciples, the depth is not only proclaiming the gospel. That's the initial step. That's the beginning. But Jesus said, the depth is, I want you to make disciples. I want you to make them to be follower of me. And so the challenge of this crusade, the Lord willing, when God gives fruit, the thing is the follow-up. It's taking them through whatever follow-up material you have, whether it be 4 weeks, 5 weeks, but it still doesn't end there. They need to be nurtured and brought to a point when you walk away, they are now able to take others through the same process. Because they have grasped the material, they understand it. And so Jesus defines the depth of the Great Commission. It's not only getting people saved, but it's also seeing them grow. Seeing them grow. And Jesus says, you know, anytime that I am with you. And so the depth of the Great Commission is defined for us. And then in Mark's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 15. The Lord Jesus emphasized the breadth and the quantity of the Great Commission in terms of the sowing of the seed. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In other words, our sowing and our proclaiming should be widespread. Notice the two words, all, every. Right? These words are used over 6,000 times in the Word of God. All, every. The Bible tells us that God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what? Repentance. That's God's desire. I mean, not at all won't. But the breadth and the quantity, God says to every, all. Now, in a practical sense, in terms of physical, most of you, if not all of us, will never get to Singapore, any place in Africa. Let me ask you something. I'm just throwing this out, just came to my mind. Every. What about North Elutra? What about Central Elutra? What about South Elutra? One of the things we're going to talk about maybe on Tuesday evening, the whole idea that Jesus says, open your eyes and see the field. What is your sphere to be able to reach out with the gospel? What is our sphere in Freeport? We just met on Friday with the assembly has what they call committees. And they get the folks in the assembly the opportunity to serve on various committees. And we have what we call the Outreach and Evangelism Committee, which has about six different ministries under it. We have conference, we have crusade, something else. We have open air. They separate crusade and going into the open air. Missions, and also retreat. The brethren has given me the responsibility for the open air on missions. And so we were sitting around talking about where can we go? Where can we as a church begin to focus our approach in terms of open air and having reaching out in our community? And so we're going to begin in our neighborhood. We're going to go about 5 miles away from the church. And then we're going to go about 15 or 20 miles away, or maybe not that long, far away, from the church. And so our plan is, in terms of the open air aspect, is to begin around where we are, in our area. We want to start with Jerusalem. We want to make an impact where we are. Then go a little more further, which is something that's going to be brought out here in a little bit. But the whole idea is the breadth and the quantity to every. We want to reach as much people as we can with, as a church, with the gospel. As much as we can. And so Jesus says, this passage says to all, to every. To all, to every. Then Luke chapter 24. Chapter 24, verse 40, beginning at verse 46, Luke chapter 24, and he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to have suffered, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. I think those who are involved in evangelism, as we all should be, but I'm talking about those who intend to full-time, this is probably perhaps the most comforting aspect when we talk about the Great Commission. Jesus is saying, just as surely as he rose from the dead, so you and I can have the confidence that his good news will get out to the whole world. Just as surely as that. Just as surely as he rose from the dead. We can have the confidence that remission, repentance and remission of sins, Jesus said, should be preached in his name among all nations. He said, it's going to begin at Jerusalem, but that's not where it's going to stop. It's going to go. And here we have the surety of the Great Commission. The surety of the Great Commission. It will get out. It's going to go. It's going to go. I was reading my devotional a few days ago. I have a little devotional book that I use to talk about needed but not indispensable. It's amazing. When someone falls off the scene, God raises someone up, else up. And the movement goes on. God's going to get his word out. But the question is, are we a part of that movement of getting it out? The surety of it is going to go. Nothing can harness the gospel of Jesus Christ. Men have tried. Dictators have tried. Governments have tried. But the more they suppress it, the more it spread. And so we know that he is alive. As sure as he rose from the dead, he says, this is going to go. And the wonderful thing is that you and I could be a part of it. The surety of the Great Commission. The surety, that's the comfort of it. In John chapter 20, and verse 21, and here we have the model of the Great Commission. The model of the Great Commission. We have the depth of the Great Commission, Matthew 28. We have the breadth and the quantity of the sowing in terms of the Great Commission, Mark 16:15, Luke 24, down to verse 47-48, shows the surety of the Great Commission. In John 21, the Lord Jesus shows us the model of the Great Commission. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And in Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 10, the Lord says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And I thought, what if we combine those verses together? And maybe the reading could be like this, of John 21, adding Luke 19. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you into the world to seek and to save the lost. The Lord Jesus Christ is our model. He came to seek and to save the lost. He says, my Father sent me. He said, even so send I you. Was he disobedient to his Father? No. Are we disobedient to our Savior? We have been sent. We have been sent with the gospel. He is our model. He is our example. And he went from place to place sharing the word of God. Wherever he could, to get the word of God out. Wherever he found himself, he shared the word of God. He shared the need for people to come to know their Creator. To have a relationship with the God of heaven. To experience forgiveness. He said, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give my life a ransom for many. So I was sent. I am giving. And the question for us is, are we willing to give our lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ? I'm not necessarily talking about physical death, but give our lives to the work of it. Getting it out. Getting it out. And so he's our model. He's our example. He's our pattern. He was faithful to that which the Father had sent him to do. He was faithful. The Apostle Paul could say he was faithful. And his closing, he says, you know what? I finished. I have completed my course. I said, Lord Jesus Christ. I said, well, he's God. He's saved. I mean, he can do that. Well, he didn't leave us alone. He gave us a helper of the Holy Spirit. And the thing about it is, you don't have to do all of it. I don't have to do all of it. I just have to do my part. What God is called by the Ross to do in his sphere of the ministry, that's not my business. I'm to encourage him, to admonish him. But I can't do what God has called him to do. And finally, we have the extent of the Great Commission. Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both. And someone has said the word both has the idea of simultaneously. Not you do one now, and then you do one later. The whole idea of simultaneous. You're doing both. Both. He says, in Jerusalem, people near you. That's why I said earlier, we saw that we need to begin in our own Jerusalem. Around the church, that area. One of the things that we're looking for to have this coming year in May is our missions month for challenging the church to, one of the things we want to emphasize is begin in your own area. What about going along your street, giving on the track, and knocking on doors? But anyway, people near you, Jerusalem. Jerusalem. Stuart Briscoe, when he emphasized this point about Jerusalem, he says about the disciple, Jesus was sending them back to the place of their greatest failure. The people near you. Judea. People in the local areas surrounding you. Surrounding you. And so you think about that. You think about Corinth. You think about North Eleuthera. Those areas. Then he says Samaria. People that are different from you. The Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. But they need the gospel too. They might be different, but they are people. They might be economically less, not as well as you are, but they are people. Their language may be different, but they are people. And so on and on. Samaria, people that are different from us. And we were reminded of the fact that all should come. Then he says, to the uttermost parts of the earth, of the world. Again, this can be done through supporting missionaries. And I see in the back there that you do that. Praise the Lord. Supporting missionaries. Giving, praying for them. And even in some sense, short-term missions. I heard a brother said once that the way the world is going to be won is when churches recognize that they can get involved in short-term missions, where groups can go for a week, 2 weeks, into areas to assist missionaries, or into areas where there is no missionary. And again, it goes back to what I'm saying, thinking out of the box. How many of you can take a week or 2 weeks and go to assist someone down in South America? Or somewhere else, even in the United States or beyond. Short-term missions. Not only just praying, not only just giving, but also going yourself. Some of you probably have done that. And you know the reward of that. You know the blessing of that. You know how your understanding and see what God is doing around the world has opened up your mind, has made you more sensitive. Those farthest corners of the globe. And so the Lord Jesus challenged us not to stay in our small corner. But he says, reach out. Go beyond where you are. Go beyond where you are. And that's the challenge. That's the goal. Make disciples of all nations. The depth of the Great Commission, the breadth and the quantity of the Great Commission, the surety of the Great Commission, the model of the Great Commission of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the extent of the Great Commission, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world, he says. And so, as we close, to what extent are you involved in the Great Commission? And this is talking about the church, talking about you. Talking about you. Let's make it personal. What's your concern? What's your involvement? What's your prayer to God? To what extent are you involved in the upcoming crusade? That's a part of it as well. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming. We believe that. So we believe it. He has left us to occupy until he comes. So he hasn't arrived yet. So that means we should be occupying then. And we pray. Thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you that we can be workers together with you in spite of our limitations and our shortcomings. Yet, Lord, we see that it is through that, because of that, you are glorified even more. Because you, the infinite God, working with finite man, and you are taking us beyond where we think that we can go and what we think we can do. And so we acknowledge that it's not by might nor by power, but it's by your spirit. And maybe as we share these thoughts during these next couple of weeks, may all of our hearts be challenged afresh, Lord. May you stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance, O God, about the importance of sharing the gospel. Thank you again for your people here. Now I pray, O Lord, that your word will not return unto you void, but indeed would accomplish that whereunto you have been pleased to send it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.